Granny looked smug. I mean, I can't imagine who'd want to murder opera people. Nanny thought of the expression on Dame Timpani's face. Except perhaps other opera people. And perhaps the musicians. And some of the audience, perhaps.
I don't believe in ghosts, said Granny firmly.
Oh, Esme, you know I've got a dozen of them in me house.
Oh, I believe in ghosts, said Granny. Sad things hanging around going woogie woogie woogie. But I don't believe they kill people or use swords.
She walked away a little. There's too many ghosts here already. Nanny kept quiet. It was best to do so when Granny was listening without using her ears.
Githa?
Yes, Esme.
What does Belladonna mean?
It's the knobby name for deadly nightshade, Esme.
I thought so. The cheek of it.
Only in opera it means beautiful woman.
Really? Oh.
Granny's hand reached up and patted the iron-hard bun of her hair.
Oh, foolishness.
He'd moved like music, like someone dancing to a rhythm inside his head, and his face for a moment in the moonlight was the skull of an angel. The duet got another standing ovation. Agnes faded gently back into the chorus. She had to do little else during the remainder of the act except dance, or at least move as rhythmically as she could, with the rest of the chorus during the Gypsy Fair, and listen to the Duke singing a song about how lovely the countryside was in summer, with an arm extended dramatically above his head. She kept peering into the wings. If Nanny Ogg was here, then the other one would be around somewhere. She wished she'd never written those wretched letters home. Well, they wouldn't drag her back, no matter what they tried. The remainder of the opera passed without anyone dying, except where the score required them to do so at some length. There was a minor upset when a member of the chorus was almost brained by a sandbag dislodged from a gantry by the stagehands stationed there to prevent accidents. There was more applause at the end. Christine got most of it, and then the curtains closed, and opened and closed a few times as Christine took her bows. Agnes felt perhaps she took one more bow than the applause really justified. Perdita, looking out through her eyes, said, "Of course she did." And then they closed the curtains for the last time. The audience went home. From the wings and up in the flies, the stagehands whistled their commands. Parts of the world vanished into the aerial darkness. Someone went around and put out most of the lights. Rising like a birthday cake, the chandelier was winched into its loft so that the candles could be snuffed. Then there were the footsteps of the men leaving the loft. Within 20 minutes of the last hand clap of applause, the auditorium was empty and dark, except for just a few lights. There was the clank of a bucket. Walter Plinge walked onto the stage, if such a word could be employed for his mode of progress. He moved like a puppet on elastic strings, so that it seemed only coincidentally that his feet touched the ground. Very slowly and very conscientiously he began to mop the stage. After a few minutes, a shadow detached itself from the curtains and walked over to him. Walter looked down.
"Hello, Mr. Pussycat," he said.
Grebo rubbed against his legs. Cats have an instinct for anyone daft enough to give them food, and Walter certainly was well qualified.
"I shall go and find you some milk, shall I, Mr. Cat?"
Grebo purred like a thunderstorm. Walking his strange walk, advancing only by averages, Walter disappeared into the wings. There were two dark figures sitting in the balcony.
"Sad," said Nanny. "He's got a good job in the warm and his mother keeps an eye on him," said Granny. "A lot of people fare worse."
"Not a big future for him, though," said Nanny. "Not when you think about it."
"There was a couple of cold potatoes and half a herring for their supper," said Granny. "Hardly a stick of furniture, too."
"Shame."
"Mind you, she's a little bit richer now," Granny conceded. "Especially if she sells all those knives and boots," she added to herself.
"It's a cruel world for old ladies," said Nanny.
Matriarch of a vast extended tribe and undisputed tyrant of half the Ramtops.
"Especially one as terrified as Mrs. Plinge," said Granny.
"Well, I'd be frightened too, if I was old and had Walter to think about."
"I ain't talking about that, Githa. I know about fear."
"That's true," said Nanny. "Most of the people you meet are full of fear."
"Mrs. Plinge is living in fear," said Granny, appearing not to hear this. "Her mind is flat with it. She can't hardly think for the terror. I could feel it coming off her like mist." Why, because of the ghost? I don't know yet, not all of it anyway, but I will find out.